The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. The second half of the program is underway. Busy show with Daniel Libet talking earlier about NIL. It's just a story that we can't run away from because of the impact and influence it is having. And our next guest has some opinions on that and many other things. He is Cedric Golden, great columnist out in Austin, Texas. First of all, Ced, how are you and what's going on?
Man, I'm doing great after listening to that intro song. Wow, that's big time. What a great jam that is.
You know, they're just trying to prop up my fading career, Ced. You know that.
Man, I think it's I thought that was awesome. The one line in it that said the hogs are hard to stop. I mean, that's crossing the line. The hogs are always stopped, but that's okay.
We will get to that in a minute. Because Texas is playing Arkansas. But before we get to UT, the UT out in Austin, let me get your reaction, because last week it was NIL all the time, and you know, there are so many remaining questions, but it was still pretty remarkable to watch it unfold. How did you view it?
I just loved it, man. It's typical NCAA passing the buck and just letting the state handle it. So as a result, Paul, the athletes are running amok. They've got a chance to make some money, and good for them, because they've been undervalued for 50 years, and now they're getting a chance to profit off of name, image, and likeness. We had at the Statesman, myself, Kirk Bowles, and Brian Davis, we did an exhaustive three-part series on it. I handled the players' part, Kirk handled the schools, and then Brian handled the companies that are going to have to deal with it, and it's on hook'em.com. Check it out if you get a chance. But to me, I just really think that it's a long time coming. Just 20 years ago, Jeremy Bloom was denied 2 years of college football because he was getting a little money on the side to ski. And so he was a good Colorado receiver. And so we've come a long way since then. The players are getting their just desserts. But, man, where are the limitations? Where are the safeguards? How far can they go with this thing? Paul, I just read a thing where a University of Miami fan is offering Hurricane scholarship players $500 a month to endorse his gym. I mean, if that's not a recruiting inducement, I don't know what is.
In terms of what you're seeing around there, Austin's a great city. The University of Texas has great reach. What have you heard so far?
Well, I talked to Del Conte and the athletic director, Chris Del Conte, and he's pro athlete, but he and a lot of other people are concerned at how far will this go. Texas athletes are signing deals. Their star running back, Bijan Robinson, already inked a deal with Cameo, the online video service, sure. And Ben Davis, who came over from Alabama, the linebacker, also signed up. So there's no end of people getting deals. And during the series we worked on, I talked to like 10 current or former athletes, Colt McCoy, Cat Osterman. They all agree, man, we could have made a killing at this. The one thing that I'll say about it, Paul, is I think it's kind of a win for the people in lesser sports or the people in the major sports that don't make it to the pros. They can still get a little bit of money while their star is its brightest. So for me, I think that's a good deal. But it's going to be, you know, the one thing I wonder about, Paul, is this football season, what's going to happen when an Alabama running back runs for 250 yards in a win over Auburn, and after the game he tells the media, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do it without the good folks at Paul Feinbaum Acupuncture. They really hooked me up. Got the knee feeling great, and I wouldn't have been able to take the field without them. So go to www.mouthofthesouth.com and put entry code TI, and you'll get 10% off your first visit. I mean, that's going to happen somewhere.
It is, and I think we're going to be watching the flow of money coming in, depending on how they're doing. But Sid, that's life, isn't it?
Oh, it's a free market. Get it where you can. Only in college athletics is a star of a company, and this is big business we're talking about, not given a raise. They don't get a raise. If I have a startup company and I hire you as my CEO, and we go from just being a fledgling startup to Fortune 500, and you're here for 4 years and you never get a raise, aren't you going to be asking, didn't I help build this thing into something? Shouldn't I be able to profit off of the fact that I helped make us great? So I think that it's a good thing for the players. I don't know if it's going to be as big sport-wise, but what we're really talking about here is basketball and football. Those are the players that's going to get the big bucks.
Talking to Cedric Golden about what is happening in intercollegiate athletics. Said one more thing before we get to the field. And it's almost as if compliance issues are out the window, and I heard the word impermissible benefits the other day. I mean, is that going to be excised from the lexicon of college football? Is anyone really going to care what happens with this?
I don't think so. And if you're throwing around words like impermissible, and you're the NCAA, who are you to throw around anything? Because you haven't become a legislative body in this. All you've done for the last 40, 50 years is cash checks. And so for you to come out and maybe say that we're not going to allow this, when are you going to put both feet in the water? I just think it's going to be a hard thing to legislate if you've always passed the buck while you're paying Mark Emmer $3 million a year. So I just don't understand why the NCAA will have a huge voice in this after you've already made it plain and clear that you're leaving this up to the schools and the state. So I just don't know if there's going to ever be a governor on this. This thing's going on downhill.
Said, let's talk about what Texas looks like. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. They have Louisiana early, and then Arkansas. Are we going to see the usual Texas disaster at the beginning, or is Sarkisian going to figure out a way to get over that?
Well, I just remember a couple of years ago, if they beat LSU, you just wonder if Tom Herman's still going to be coaching 2 years later. Those are the kind of games that make or break you. Louisiana is a bowl team every year, and they're coming in here. I looked the other day, and I think Texas is like a 9-point favorite. I'm like, man, give me some Raging Cajuns +9, you know? That's a big spread, especially when the Longhorns, we don't even know who's going to be the quarterback yet. Is it going to be Hudson Carter? Is it going to be Casey Thompson? So in the Big 12, quarterback is the number one position, as in most football conferences. So I think Sarkisian was a great assistant, but he'd never really proven himself as a great head coach. He turned things around in Washington, but they weren't world beaters once he did that. So the jury is still out on that. He's following the Nick Saban playbook. He's not allowing us to talk to his assistants. We haven't even met his assistants, Paul. We've never met him. And so haven't had an availability with him. So I think, and he's not going to allow us to interview him during the season. So he's following that playbook. But I'm wondering if just because you follow the Nick Saban playbook doesn't mean you're going to get Nick Saban results. So the jury's still out on Coach Sarkisian. The Longhorns, this was not a slam dunk hire, I don't think. I think he's got a lot to prove. He's a really good coach, but he's been a great coordinator, not a great head coach.
How has he handled the offseason, other than what you've already said? The pandemic has lessened, so there is the opportunity to get out there more. How has he handled that, and what are the always impressionable or not so impressionable Longhorn boosters saying about him?
We haven't met him. I haven't met him. So I've seen him on Zoom, but I've yet to meet him. He spoke at the Houston Touchdown Club a few weeks ago. We sent Brian Davis down to speak with him on that. I think the boosters, the one thing about Texas, man, is the boosters want you to love them, and they want to love you. They want to be able to get their hands on you, have you be accessible. It's what made Mac Brown such a great head coach, because he was able to handle that CEO role. I don't know that Sarkisian is that guy where he's going to be wanting to talk to all the big money guys that are still have a huge voice in this program, fair or unfair. So as far as they're concerned, if he wins, it'll be fine. But if he doesn't, it's going to be another Charlie Strong thing. Charlie Strong wasn't a big purveyor of shaking hands with the boosters and hanging out at all of these events. And as a result, when he didn't win, it was an easy call. Whereas Mac Brown probably got an extra 2 or 3 years after things fell off under his watch, because he established such great relationships with these boosters.
Mentioning Mac Brown, and I realized there wasn't really a lot of debate. I mean, at the time he left, maybe Mac took issue, but the program was fading. But watching Mac resurrect his career at Chapel Hill, what has been the reaction of Texas boosters and alum that you know?
Well, I get emails all the time. We should have kept him. I was like, you're the same guy that said he had to go. I still have that email. So, yeah, I think it's a fickle fan base. It's a fickle bunch of boosters. Mac Brown is a winner, and Mac Brown is a great recruiter. And when you're a great recruiter and you're good with people and you run a scandal-free program, you're going to get jobs. And what he's done over at North Carolina didn't surprise me at all, because it's what he did here. He didn't forget how to coach. Things just got stale. He didn't recruit as well, and some of his coaching hires weren't great. So those kind of things can lead, you know, a confluence of events can lead to you losing your job. But he went to North Carolina and he started over. It's a place that he's familiar with, and he's doing well. He's recruiting well. They're preseason top 25 team, and I expect them to win. And people in Austin are not surprised that Mac turned it around.
So what about this season? With a kind of a bumpy beginning, Louisiana, then there's at Arkansas. What do you see?
I think they'll figure out a way to win at home against Louisiana. Arkansas is another deal altogether. I haven't looked and see what the Hogs have coming back. But I know they've gone through some dark years. They were scrappy last year, and scrappy may be enough to get them a win in Fayetteville. It's the first time these two teams will have played since 2004, when Texas went in there and beat them. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. All I remember is walking into that press box. They made us walk like a mile and a half from the parking lot to the press box, and there were people on both sides of the street yelling some unseemly things at the Austin press corps. And my boss at the time was like, we don't even play for Texas. And I was like, dude, they know we're not from here. Let's just get to the press box, cover this game, and get back to the Marriott. So I love an old school rivalry, and it's going to be fun. I think it's a beehive waiting to erupt. And if Texas can get past that first one against Louisiana, I think they'll have a good chance. But if you're asking me today, I might have to pick Arkansas to win at the house.
I agree with you on that. Hey, thank you very much, Cedric. It's always great to talk to you. You be well. Hope to see you this season.
Okay, brother. Be good.
We are taking a break here. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back here on a Tuesday afternoon, and I'm in up next.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing well.
Well, I hope you had a great fourth. I mean, everything's great here in Alabama. Got a nice little cool shower coming in, and I guess it'll be raining most of the afternoon. I heard somebody calling me out earlier, and you said I'd probably be listening. You know, you were dead on right. I was listening.
And I don't know if there are many people that still listen to the show. As you know, it's kind of fallen apart and gone downhill. I mean, but I knew you.
Oh
would
yeah,
be.
And they're in. And nobody listens anymore. The ratings are off, and you're probably going to get fired.
Could happen any day.
Any day. I mean, it could happen in the middle of this phone call. Who knows? I mean,
it just happened.
You know, I heard a guy call me out earlier. I've never been one for putting a lot of stuff on online, YouTube, and that kind of thing. But I do write a lot, and I had been thinking seriously about, I've probably got over 200 hours of stuff that I just messed with. You know, they're just kind of in the demo form, so I'd have the idea. Some of them I missed several tracks on, some of them. And I just left them as they were. And I've been thinking real seriously about maybe adding those to a Facebook account. I have a musician account. Just because they're there. Not because I need a pat on the back or anything. It's just because I took the time to do that. They did not exist before I took that time. And so I put one on Twitter, just jamming around in the warehouse to no blues tune.
What was the tune?
Little Red Rooster.
Okay.
Little old blues tune. I can't even tell you, I can't even think of the guy that did it, but it's from the 40s or the 50s. It's just, I like listening to all that stuff. And I was just messing around the warehouse one day where I got some stuff setting up, just trying to get a feel for the room and get a sound, and about 8 o'clock in the morning. But you know, it's out there. I mean, I'm fine with it. I mean, I'm very comfortable musically for a guy that learned to do everything on the back patio of my grandmother's house. And just paid attention and had some really good friends and allowed me to hang around and just, you know, it is what it is. But it's out there on Twitter. And I put it out there about 15 minutes ago. It took me a while to figure out how to do it, but it's there.
Is blues different from a percussion standpoint than rock and roll?
You know, I think I like playing the blues better, because blues has such an empty space in it that it allows each instrument to do its thing. And I appreciate good drum solos, guitar solos, and all those kind of things. But I get tired of listening to them when you go to an event, because I want to hear the music. I don't want to hear 15 minutes of this or that. I want to hear songs. And I already know you can play. And that's great. And it's good for the fans out there. And everybody loves a good solo by an artist. But I want to hear the band play. And that's, to me, is the... is the pinnacle of everything, you know, playing together as a group of people. And I tell you, there's nothing better in this world than sitting down with a group of friends and creating something from nothing and playing together. Now, getting everybody to agree on it could be a little different and difficult, but I tell you, just being able to pick up instruments, and it's not something you just pick up. It's hours and hours and hours of repetitious practice that most people wouldn't understand, care for, or even dedicate themselves to. But the people that are drawn to it are drawn to it like a magnet, and they're blessed with that opportunity. And I don't know, it's just a real good, safe place for me personally, emotionally, and all those kind of things. And I've just appreciated that it was a gift given to me, and I figured out how to develop it and carried it into mixing and writing and recording and all those kind of things. And I'm not real good at any of it, but I can do a lot more than maybe some would give.
Well, if this gig for me falls apart, I mean, maybe we could do a YouTube music show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll take you and Sal James Taylor look-alike, sound-alike stuff all over this country, because you are the man. And I tell you, you know, speaking of James Taylor, that's not a bad, that's a hard act to follow, because he's been there forever.
Yeah, he's one of those few guys that really doesn't sound much different today than he did back in the early 70s.
No, and Neil Young's the same. Stephen Stills,
there's quite
a few of them. The list goes on and on. But I appreciate the guy calling me out, because, I mean, sometimes I need that little nudge to push things out there. And I appreciate your time, Paul.
And we thank you for yours. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Great call there, bye. Hi, man. Let's go to Carter, who's up next. Hello, Carter.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you for calling.
Hey, so, Paul, I was thinking about this when you talk about the NIL and locker room issues of the players and how they play. I think that the players now are a little more sophisticated maybe than the players in my days and days before. They understand, well, even like we did, that there's players that are just better than you. And
sure,
that's part of being a football player or anything else you do. There's people going to be better than you, and they may get opportunities you don't. But that doesn't make a difference when you want to come together as a team and win. The objective is still the objective, and I think that'll hold course for us as we look at this NIL.
Well, you're right about that. I mean, we just got through with the Elite 11 camp. I mean, from a
right,
very young age, these guys are in high levels right, of competition, and you just deal with it. I mean, every
yeah,
one of us, whether we played Little League or high school or college or pro, that's just the nature of the locker room.
That's exactly right. And then when you look at the NCAA, here's what I look at when I see the NCAA. They're like a government agency. You know, in my job, I work with Medicare and different government agencies, and they're giant, they're powerful. And what happens a lot of time, and I think this is what you're going to see with NIL possibly, is that they're going to sit back, let it do what it does, and they're going to come in and save the day in their ways and create a bunch of rules and different things that are going to happen. And then here we go. We've got they're going to come out looking like a champion when they could have got ahead of this and on the front end. And then, you know, here we go. They could create a bunch of rules and different things and come out smelling like a rose. I could see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, their level of incompetence has surely been shown here. But I think you're right. I mean, first of all, nobody really knows. In fairness, you could put a bunch of rules in, but nobody knows how this is going to play out. And
right,
I think you have to wait for it. And I think every major school in the country is prepared for it. What most people think is going to happen, though, are the wealthy schools, the successful schools, will master it. The middle to lower level are going to get run over, and it's just going to cause more disparity than we already have, which is hard to imagine considering the state of college football right now.
Exactly. And I also think, you know, for a lot of us that are kind of resistant to change, you know, but when I think back, you know, as a younger man, you know, it's hard to find Georgia playing on TV. And, you know, now I can find
sure,
them on TV pretty much every weekend.
No, I mean, I made that point the other day. The Supreme
yeah,
Court case in 84 changed everything, and Yeah, you don't have to go that far back.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, ESPN didn't start till the late 70s. College football until the mid the late 80s was hard to find. And yeah. And now we complain, well, there's too many games on Saturday.
And there's never enough games. That's my personal opinion. But I'll tell you this. I mean, it is changed. It's a huge industry now, and I think all of us that, you know, grew up in the 70s and 80s, we see it. And I don't think, you know, things have to change. You have to be prepared for change, and you have to accept it. That's life. And I think
exactly.
That's what,
yeah,
I mean, I'm struggling with.
I'm sympathetic to people that call up and say, well, this is going to do this or that, and I'm the same age they are, but you know, the closer you get to it, the more you're around it, you see that the young people are different, and you know, they're coming from a different world, and you know, we're not going to debate whether it's the right world or not, but it is the world that we're living in. Hey, thanks for the call. Quick break. More to come. A couple more guests in the final hour. More of your phone calls. You want to get in, this is a pretty good time to do it. 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're back, and Charles is up next from Pensacola. Good afternoon, Charles.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Paul, I listen to your program when I'm in my truck driving and not in there all the time, but I hear a lot of debate over this paying the players. And I'm from the old school, and I think that's a big mistake. But I believe that a plan could be worked out so because I think it's going to create a lot of dissension on the teams. It's going to create a lot of jealousy. It'll also create a situation where a guy gets a big check and he decides not to finish school. But if it were divided among the team, because a football is a team sport, it's not an individual sport. He needs to play golf or tennis if he wants to, or go out for gymnastics. But a team sport is everybody on that team contributes to the success of every player. And if a guy's getting a bonus, there ought to be something worked out so the team gets part of that bonus if it's not put in a pool and they all split it. So that would create a situation where it was equitable among all the players. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right about that. And I don't know if it's possible to go back, but I do think that would be a very smart – that would be a very smart clause.
Well, I remember a number of the running backs in professional football football teams. They gave gifts to their line.
Right.
Because they know that line, if that's not that line, they don't run those, they don't gain those yards without that line. And the problem is you're going to have players saying, well, hell, he thinks he's so great. I'm just going to drop this pass. Not necessarily that way, but it'll just create dissension that a football team don't need.
No, I think that's a real issue, and there's no way of knowing until we get there. But I'm sure coaches, and what is a coach supposed to do? And it's something that's never been an issue before.
Is it a done deal? Have they already decided that that's the way it's going to be?
Yeah, for right now, I mean, there are some schools where companies are making sure. Miami, I think, did this week. Where they're making sure everyone gets a little bit, but most of the deal, the law, the way the law is written in all these states and the NCAA legislation, that it's ultimately the individual who can profit from it, not the team.
Yeah, well, the lawyers like that, but anyway,
definitely.
I just thought that was my two cents, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So
I like it.
I hope it works out.
It's a good
story. I got a feeling.
I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. Eddie is in Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, my man?
We're doing great.
Hey, man. Hope you feel better, Paul. Look like like you caught something this weekend, my man.
Well, whatever it was, I don't think it's that serious, but I appreciate your kind words.
Yeah, man, but I appreciate you, Paul, through it all, my man. You still show up. So I appreciate a guy that show up, you know.
And, thank you.
And, no matter how you feel, you've been showing up. Hey, Paul, but I don't know, NIL, I mean, I'm not going to stress over it because I really don't know what's going to happen. You know, I keep hearing about this, that, and the other, and everybody coming up with these, I don't know, conspiracy theories and all these concerns about thinking that they know how it's going to work out, and none of us know how it's going to work out. You know, I want to say give these kids a little credit, man, because they grew up in a totally different world than we grew up in, and I know, you know, we got a lot of old school people out there, man, that don't want to change and don't like change and hate seeing change. But Paul, there's nothing we can do about it, man. It's here, and I hope you know, I know I know they're gonna have some rough spots to start off with, but I hope it doesn't end up ruining college football as we know it. And that's just,
well, let me ask you though, and I hear that all the time, but how do you think it would ruin college football?
Paul, we're talking about money, all right? And it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And you have to be careful when you bring money into you can't bring money everywhere and expect it.
But Eddie, you're a keen observer of college football. And I realize it's a little bit different now that it's legal, but don't you think money has been funneled into college football for a long time?
Of course, but not like this, Paul. Not like it's about to be. And I don't think the kids are going to have – I don't think it's going to mess up the team chemistry, because these kids got all types of ways to make money, Paul. And I think everybody going to make a little change, you know. So I don't think you're going to have this thing where, somebody that's not making, money like a quarterback might be making it. It's going to be that jealous, because all of them have an opportunity to make money. And a lot of these kids, Paul, are good at it. I couldn't believe that kid you talked to the other day was freaking 22 years old. All right? And that's just what we're working with. But I really wanted to call about Jeff, Paul. Are you there?
Yeah. Tell me about Jeff.
I really wanted to call about Jeff from Ohio. That's why I really wanted to call. Here's the dude, Paul. He acts as if anybody down south give a damn about Ohio State. We don't care about Ohio State, Jeff. Please spare us. All right. Here's the deal. You talked the same crap last year when Ohio State was hot on the recruiting trail, then you had Bama came and out recruited them. And end up with the best recruiting class in history. Recruiting class don't mean don't equal instant championship, Jeff. Come on, bro. You know, Paul, I looked at it, Paul, since 2000, Paul. How many championships you think Ohio State won?
Since 2000, I believe
21.
They won two.
Two, Paul. Do you know LSU have won more championships than Ohio State?
Seems like Alabama has won two natties this week.
I know. Don't you know Florida has won just as many championships as Ohio State, Paul, in 20 years? And this guy is talking like Ohio State is winning championships like left and right. No, that doesn't mean anything. Since 2012, Alabama and Georgia has dominated the recruiting classes. They've been number one and two, Paul. How many championships Georgia got from those recruiting classes?
Must have missed it.
I don't think they got one. I don't think it has it. I don't even think Clemson has won a recruiting championship. I mean, recruiting title. I don't even think LSU has finished with the number one recruiting class ever. But they have won championships. I don't remember Auburn, but they have won championships. So it doesn't work like that, Jeff. We don't care how many recruiting titles.
But listen, Eddie, if you just got steamrolled by 28 in the championship game, you've got to find something to beat your chest about.
I know, but he called it the wrong place to beat his chest, because he got to win championship. That's not going to equal championship. So I don't know what the dude is talking about. He's so high on Ohio State, like they win in championships every other year. Nobody's doing that but Bama. So I don't get what Jeff is talking about. Be happy, Jeff. All right? Yeah. You guys are blowing the recruiting trail up. Bravo. I mean, I don't even know when it ends, but you haven't won anything yet. You haven't even won the recruiting title yet. So that means.
Well, that's true. Yeah, remember, last year at this time, Alabama was like 28th, and they won by hands down. Hey, we're up against a break. Quick break. A couple of guests in the next hour. Your phone calls continue right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back in, somebody was alluding to this earlier, and the story has finally now hit, that the owner of a Florida-based chain of mixed martial art gyms announced that he is going to try to help the University of Miami take advantage of new rules. He is Dan Lambert. He's a Miami guy. He's the owner of American Top Team, and he has offered each scholarship player on the current Hurricane team a monthly payment of $500 to advertise his gyms on social media. So this is the first time we've seen it go en masse. So it will be interesting to see if others follow suit. I'm sure they will, but it's a way of making sure that everybody on the team gets something out of NIL. We'll continue talking about this in the next hour. Let's check in with Mark, who is up next. Hey, Mark, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, listen to your show. Like it, enjoy it a lot.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I think I don't know, you could call it old school, whatever, but I think this whole thing of paying players is a colossal end and cluster of college football or college athletics. You know, I think if people are conflating working, being on scholarship with being a job, it's not. And I think the Supreme Court, if I guess in their wisdom, is going to have to change a lot of other laws. You know, if you get a car and you get benefit from a company, you get taxed on it. Are they going to start taxing players for the $60,000-$70,000 of equivalent income that they get for being on a college scholarship? I mean, that they're in a special class and they're going to have to change that. Are they going to change that employees, on the other hand, can now go out and, for example, if you work for AT&T, can you go out and sell phones and use the name of that company and the reputation for them being good in the phone service to make a living? You can't do that in private business, but they're saying that college athletes can do that. I think it's just,
you still there, Mark? For some reason, I lost Mark. Mark, if you're listening, let's see if we can get you back. That was a very interesting call there. I want to follow up on that. Let me go to William, who is up next. Hey, William, go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
Pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I just had a couple things to say about the NIL. You know, it's the hot topic for the summer. This is for all the people, all the older people who are not willing to change or not like, they don't want change. Older person, when I was a kid, told me the only constant thing in life is change, right? So it's going to continue to change. Everything is going to continue to change. Nothing is going to stay the same, you know? And I don't understand. Like, I want to ask you, how would paying the players actually affect the product on the field? How is it going to ruin it? I don't understand that. Like, when people say
right
that,
about
I
this
have and no clue.
William, a lot of people are just, they're not considering where we are right now, and I think if you're harping on the past, it means you're not paying attention to the present. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We're unfortunately out of time, and we are coming back with much more, another hour to go. We hope you'll give us a ring at 855-242-7285.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.